Our Friday panel this week, two from lovely Leitrim, Sligo Leitrim Sinn Féin deputy Martin Kenny, the party spokesperson on justice, and former general election candidate Bernie O'Hara from Drumahaire. Lots of questions coming your way already, I have to tell both of you. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us. Where will we start? Right, will we start with the cat lab services, I think, because there's a number of questions coming in relation to that. Bernie, you've been listening to the argument, I'm sure, and the ending of this service, in a couple of days' time, 6 days' time. What do you make of it? Is there enough of a...
Well, I think it seems like a joke in a way, like it's a university hospital and they're starting to remove services for us. The reason it was made a university hospital is because we provide every service, you know, the most service that people will be using. What I can't get at all is that they're allowing private contractors to provide these services. These companies are there to make a profit. Yeah. So they're able to make a profit on what they're doing. So why is it not more viable for the HSE to provide those services themselves, pay the people themselves, than let a company in there to make a profit? And that's the same with loads of the services they're offering there in Sligo Hospital. But another thing that's a real bone of contention, and I'm surprised, Martin, that you haven't touched this, you were on about doing something about insurance. You have private health insurance companies. And I mean, that is the most outrageous crime that's going on in this country at the moment. People are paying thousands and thousands for private insurance when they should be entitled to it under the public system. People have paid into that. They've paid their PRSI, they've paid all that all their lives. And what they're doing is, they're more or less saying is, what you've paid for all your life is not going to be as good as what you can get privately. And people are paying thousands to get private. And I know people that can't get the care. I know a woman that's paying nearly €5,000 a year for herself and her family. And she has to have an operation now. It can only be done in one of the private hospitals. It's a very rare procedure she has to have, and she can't. Her health insurance won't cover it. So the thing about it is, now she's to try and go to the HSE and beg and crave of them to cover the cost of it. After spending that kind of, nobody should be paying private insurance. Absolutely nobody should be paying private insurance, because it's as simple as this. They're private companies. They're there to make a profit. That's it. End up. They're not there to look after your health. Okay. And they will decide
which throws up the company. I mean, somebody suggested on the show during the week that there should be an audit of the services being provided at hospitals like Sligo. How many of the services are privately run?
It's outrageous. It's a
matter for concern. As you say, if the profits aren't being made, and they don't have any obligation to stay on.
They're not really that awfully concerned about your health. And there's some of the health insurance companies, what they do is they decide somewhere along the line, a lot of money has been spent on this person. They don't seem to be making a huge amount of progress. So then they start to cut off. You literally have to ring the insurance company to find out, are you entitled to a particular service or what else? Like, I mean, I don't know. I think that it should be banned. They shouldn't be allowed to do it. And that's the bottom line. And they certainly shouldn't be allowed to do it in public hospitals where people have paid for all their life to get treatment, that people can come in to make a profit on the public hospitals that the ordinary individual paid for. It's not good enough.
Right, okay. Well, two issues there, Martin Kenny. First of all, the cat lab service, which you spoke about in the Dáil on Tuesday night, I think it was. And you weren't happy, was it?
I'd absolutely agree with Bernie in regard to the cat lab service and the fact that it's a private company providing it. And I made that point to the minister on the other evening that, you know, when you privatise something like this, you leave the option that they can just walk away at any time, and that's exactly what's happened here. But I understand they've been paying close to $1 million a year to this company, and at the same time we understand that for to provide a full proper service in Sligo University Hospital, it wouldn't cost much more than what it would be providing for 2 to 3 years of that service.
So it
makes no economic sense apart from anything else. The other point about it is that people in the Northwest deserve to have a proper medical service in place, and we don't have that. And the point I made to the minister is that saying that, you know, we're going to be available in Galway, it's already available in Galway. All you're going to do is put more pressure on Galway by sending people down there. But I think the broader issue that Bernie relates to in regard to the two-tier service we have. You have a private service and you have a public service, neither of which worked efficiently or effectively. And what we need to do, and that's what Sláintecare is about, that in fairness there was agreement to some extent that we needed to move to a proper publicly funded service which was there for everyone, which would be at the point of delivery, that people would be entitled to it because they pay PRSI, because they pay taxes, and then all their lives when they do that, when they have a problem, they forget out the checkbook and write a check for an operation.
Why are we still talking about Sláintecare, and why is that not
because
in place?
Because government hasn't put the emphasis on delivering Sláintecare, and in fact some of the people who were on the board of Sláintecare recently resigned, including the chairman, because of the fact that the emphasis isn't there for to deliver that. And And, you know, I think we really need to get grips with this situation. I don't believe this nonsense that's peddled by many, many people in this country that Ireland isn't possible to have a proper health system. Every other modern economy in Europe can have a good health system. Why can't Ireland? There's obviously vested interest there that's blocking that from happening, and we need to stand up to
them. We're one of the highest rates of taxes in the world. When people are paying more taxes than nearly they are anywhere else, we certainly should be entitled to a proper health service. And just not to be just picking, but you mentioned there that people in the North West deserve, you know, good health care, and you're right, of course, but it's more than deserve. People have a right to it.
Absolutely.
What maddens people, and as Marion Harkin said in the Dáil, Waterford Regional or University Hospital, whatever it's called, has two permanent cath lab facilities, and good luck to them, and they lobbied hard for that. How can Waterford have two and Sligo not even have one?
Well, that's the issue.
Does that come down to...
You know, and we've written the 4 TDs, in fairness, from the constituency, have written to the minister and have asked for a meeting. So far, we've got nothing back other than an acknowledgement of those letters. And, you know, in fairness to Marion, she joined me the other night on the topical issue, and I know that the other TDs in the constituency have also been putting pressure on this. When I look back through stuff that's been going for the number of years, I've been raising this issue for years, because I remember speaking to some of the consultants in Sligo University Hospital, and they told me that they will not get new consultants to come and work in the hospital if there isn't proper services there, because nobody wants to do that.
So it's a vicious circle.
It's going to spiral and continue to spiral downwards unless there's serious intervention from government and they step up to the mark and provide the cath lab service here in Sligo and nowhere else.
Well, maybe it's a case, maybe it's time this, like, I mean, the you say the public representatives in this area have been putting on pressure, and that's fair enough, and they have two in Waterford. Then maybe it's time for the public representatives in this area to talk to the public representatives down there and see how do they do it, because they were able to achieve that in their area, so the public representatives here should be able to do the same and maybe go and get advice from them. That's maybe a route to take.
Yeah. Right, okay. There might be a reason they got two, but we won't go into that for now. Right, okay. Agree fully with Bernie, says this listener. I had a family member in hospital for 3 nights, admitted late, discharged early. So one full day in the ward is all they had. One full day in the ward. The total bill came to €3,000, and we had no breakdown of the same at all. €3,000.
Scandalous.
Right, okay. Do you feel bullied by... Do you feel like you're bullying or tarnished?
I know where you're coming from now.
I wasn't sure where it was coming from myself.
I was actually there when it was going on with Piers Doherty and Leo Varadkar, and you know, I know the leaders' questions is one of those intense kind of debates that happens. People are at loggerheads, and that's fine. Yeah. But I think, you know, we have to be careful not to go down personal with any of these things, and it's unfortunate when it does, because it detracts from the issue, you know. And I think the issues are very real. We have a huge issue with the cost of living in this country. We have a huge issue with our health services, as we've spoken about a few minutes ago. We have huge issues with housing in this country, and we really need to deal with those issues. And I think, you know, the more emphasis we can place on coming up with solutions for those things, the better, rather than going down this track where we have these very open public spats about things, which can become personal, and you know, I always feel that it's not helpful to anyone when that happens.
Yeah. Were you put back in your box as a party, do you think, by Leo Varadkar?
I don't think so. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, to be honest with you. What matters is that we need to build more houses. What matters is that we need to provide cardiac services here in Sligo. What matters is that we need to, you know, to try and deliver for people. And where we can in politics, and we will disagree. All of us will disagree on many things. But the things that we do agree on is that there are serious crises in our community that we need to deal with, and we need to be focused on that.
Bernie, Leo Varadkar said his argument with Piers Doherty and his response was an act of self-defence. Did you see it like
that? Well, I have a completely different take on it than Martin has. And surprisingly enough, you'll probably be surprised. But they talked about cheap shots. I think the only cheap shot that was thrown at that and that debacle was Leo Varadkar accusing Piers Doherty of something, you know, bringing up something that he did as a minor. I mean, cheap shot, that was definitely the cheap shot of the day. That was it. And the thing about this, he said that there was a lot of issues that were brought up in that debacle that were needed to be heard, that people need to hear. And I think there was a lot of allegations made by Leo Varadkar against Sinn Féin and Mary Lou. And I think if those allegations are right, then them needs to be seriously looked into and find out what's going on there. If they're wrong, I think Sinn Féin need to do something about it, and Leo Varadkar needs to be brought to account for that and taken to court and stand over what he said if they're wrong.
Well, but, you have parliamentary privilege in all these things. You
well,
know,
it so doesn't matter not, about parliament.
You know, but I mean, look, I take your point, and I think it was unfortunate.
The thing about it is, Pierce Doherty came back and attacked Leo Varadkar about his position and about him being looked into at the moment about a crime that he's allegedly has committed. But he didn't allegedly commit that crime. He actually admitted himself that he did it. And he's the tarnisher of the country. And I mean, what does it say about a government that the tarnisher is already been on his own admission, committed the crime and is being investigated by Gardaí, and he's still in that position? Like, I mean, this is how corruption got away in countries all over the world. Small things were let go, and then a nod and a wink, and let that go, and let that, we'll say nothing if you say nothing. So I really do believe that every single thing that was thrown up in that debacle needs to be investigated. Yeah.
But there's a time and a place, and the point I think
Martin
Kenny was making.
Well, the only when the country has sunk to the level it has, that you have people like that, the people in positions like that, that are guilty of, or not guilty of, the crimes that were, the allegations that were made. It's time for this thing to be brought out in the open publicly and that it be resolved. Like, Sinn Féin really need to, they really, really need to go out there and prove that what he said was wrong. Or else, if what he said is right and them allegations are right, well, then there needs to be something seriously done.
All right. Well, we had a parent who rang us this day week, a parent of a young child, saying she couldn't believe what she saw and heard, and she's trying to teach her 7-year-old girl right from wrong, and then you have two grown men, two seasoned politicians, acting the way they did.
But they were,
it's in nobody's interest, she said.
It's in nobody's interest, but the thing is, we've got to that point that we have allowed things to go so bad that had to be, like, there's allegations made there that need to be followed up, and that's the truth of it, and like, that's the facts of it, and we cannot allow ourselves to have a government that's made up of, if they're made up of the people, are of the people that Leo Varadkar said are involved in certain parties.
All right, 0719118104, our number to call, text or WhatsApp now to 083 3500 530. This person says, everybody is complaining lately about the cost of living. Unions are looking for increase in pay for workers. It's not a vicious circle. If we get pay increases, it must come from someplace. And again, we've had listeners all week, Martin Kenny, worried about the increase in the price of coal from next week. How do you deal with this situation?
The cost of living is a crisis which, you know, government, in our view, has not taken enough measures for to deal with. And, you know, we feel that there needs to be, you know, very targeted measures, particularly for people on lower incomes, particularly for people with families. For instance, the cost of childcare in this country is absolutely crazy, even before we had a cost of living crisis. And, you know, what we've proposed is that there would be interventions put in there, which would cost about $1.2 billion. And there needs to be a mini budget to do that. Now, people say, where will the money come from that? Yep. The ESRA, in its most recent report, has said that they expect that we will have over a billion in surplus from what the government actually set out as being, you know, the targets or the estimates that they have for this year. Apart from that, there's almost 2 billion in a rainy day fund, or a fund that was put away for COVID contingency measures. So, you know, there is the possibility of dealing with crisis because there's crisis funds in place. And that's why we feel that that needs to be done to alleviate the real suffering and the real pain that people are experiencing out there. And, you know, government is saying that they're going to wait until the budget to do that. That's going to be very, very difficult for an awful lot of people that are struggling really hard to make ends meet, to pay astronomical rents, to try and pay their mortgage, to try and pay, you know, for petrol, for fuel, to go to work every day is crazy. Like, I had people on to me in this constituency who want to take a bus into town, and government has said that they're 20% reduction in the cost of fares on buses. But it's an expressway bus, and it's the only bus that's going.
Yeah.
So they can't get a reduction on that because it's not part of that scheme. And, you know, there's a whole lot of issues like that where we feel that people, particularly in rural Ireland, for many of the measures that the government have brought in, are left out. And I think there needs to be a recognition of that.
Okay, so mini budgets, rise maybe in the living wage, increase in social welfare payments, all that goes with that.
That will all have to happen. But I think, you know, we need to recognise that we have a possibility here for to reset our economy. And the way we reset our economy is to ensure that we provide for the people. It's all about services that we talked about in the hospitals, but it's also about people having a decent standard of living, that when you go to work, that work pays. Now, government is very set on reducing taxes, particularly for the higher paid, and, you know, we feel we have to be careful around that, because that is one of the things that will actually feed into inflation and will push inflation up. And that's not just us saying that. That's like the ESRI is saying that, the central bank is saying that. There's a whole other range of people out there saying, including St. Vincent de Paul and all these other agencies who are on the coalface dealing with the hardships that people are facing on a daily basis. Yeah. So, you know, government really needs to step in and be a player in this, not just leave it to the markets, because leaving it to the markets is what got into the crisis in the first place.
Right, okay, Bernie, are your views on this? What should the government be doing, if anything?
I think it's very simple.
Or have they done enough?
There's a very simple solution to it. The thing about it is the biggest cause of inflation in this country is the price of fuel. Like, everything that's delivered to the shops, everything that's bought everywhere, as the cost of it has gone way, way up because of the price of fuel. Over 50% of the cost of diesel and oil and petrol and all that is taxes. And instead of a mini budget, instead of any of those things, get rid of those taxes and leave it that for most of the extra money that's in the exchequer has come from those extra taxes. When the price went up, the value of that tax went up. So there's where most of the money has come. Just cut them. And I mean, that's a very, very simple thing that could be done this evening and it'd be effective in the morning. That would immediately reduce the inflation in the country, which would bring down the cost for everybody. On a bag of coal, there's nearly €9 of taxes on a bag of coal. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that is absolutely outrageous. But then you have other people, they're just slightly on the margins for getting the fuel allowance. There's people that are €5 and €6 out. Yeah, so why do they not increase that? Increase that as well and help those people. Then you say to yourself, okay, diesel and petrol and everything is expensive, and you know the whole green thing and everything else. I take the train from somewhere working in Carrick, I take the train from Colooney to Carrick and Shannon and keep the car off the road. You go over to Colooney and you have to pay to park your car there. It's nearly cheaper to drive the car to Colooney. So, I mean, there's an awful lot of stupidity and nonsense going on. And I mean, the simple solution to the inflation problem in this country for the moment, in the short term, is definitely to reduce the taxes on all the fuels, the diesel and all of those fuels, yeah. And you'll see a result tomorrow.
Okay, but we shouldn't be buying bags of coal at all, Barry. Did you not know that?
Well, the thing about it is there's lots of coal that's smokeless, and I mean, it was brought in. There's companies spent millions on top of millions to develop smokeless coals, and now there's taxes being put on top of them. So what do they want? Like, I mean, the thing about it is you can't have it everywhere. You can't say, well, we're doing away with the smoky coal. That's fine. These companies went out and did what they did to bring in a coal that was smokeless, and now the people that changed over and bought that are being made pay anything between €5 and €8 a bag extra on a bag of coal. It's absolutely outrageous. There is no thought being put what's going on or anything else. The only one that's getting anything in the government at the moment is Eamon Ryan. He's coming up with all this stupidity and all this nonsense, and he's getting his way and everything. I can't understand why he's been allowed to get away. Like, I mean, we have a situation in this country. If you want a bale of baguettes, it has to come in from Germany. And you know, on that issue,
because a lot of what Bernie is saying is around that issue, and you make the point about people not buying coal. If people aren't going to buy coal and they're not going to use solid fuel, they have to have alternatives. And the alternatives, we're told, is very expensive heating systems that they need to retrofit their homes to do. And in order to do that, they need to get grants. And the grants that the government is providing at the moment are approximately a 50% grant. For something that could cost 40 to maybe 60, 70,000 for a person to renovate a home, where are they going to get the other half of that? For people that already have a mortgage, people that already
can't get people to do the retrofit. Yes, there isn't enough people to do it. There are those issues
about labour supply and labour shortages, and you know, we have to try and overcome them. But the real issue is, you know, that government needs to front load all of this. We need to be given much more and much higher grants aids to people on lower incomes in order to be able to retrofit their homes, in order to put up solar panels, to do all that.
Well, speaking of alternative heating systems, our own producer happened to mention on the breakfast show during the week the availability of snuggle blankets in a local store, and I think within an hour of our mention it, the snuggle blankets were sold out, and there was people ringing here where to get the snuggle blankets. Hopefully it's not at that stage. Niall, €1,500 has cost me for a fill of home heating oil in Carrick and Shannon today. What will it be by Christmas? I'd say we'll all be on the fuel allowance by Christmas, the way things are going. Someone else says, Niall, my building contractor is now coming to work in a small car. He's parked up his big van because he can't afford it. It's a joke. How is the government going to get all these houses built if they don't act on the tax on diesel and fuel? Maybe you'd like to answer this, Martin Kenny. Martin Kenny's a great man at telling us what we all know already. When Sinn Féin get into power, if they do, he'll be defending a government who'll crucify middle and higher income earners. You just have to look at their record in government in Northern Ireland. Not the first time you've heard this, sir, being
I think you know the deed was.
So how do you respond? How do you respond to that person?
Well, I mean, you know,
it's a popular narrative among some, as you know.
Obviously, somebody has an extra grinder. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're saying is, you know, if we get into government, you know, we're not going to turn the country inside out overnight, but the priorities are going to change. And the priorities are going to change for the ordinary people, and that's the commitment that we make. And that means that people out there who are struggling, who are working hard, who are trying their best, will get a break. That we'll give them a break in childcare. That we'll give them a break on their rents. That we'll put measures in place to ensure that people can be able to afford to live. As you talk about the taxes, to reduce the taxes on fuel, that's one of the policies that we put in place. That Pierce Doherty has put in place. That we want to do that. We want to ensure that we can provide for people and that we can make it a better and functioning economy for everyone. And not just for those at the very top. Because at the moment, you know, we see, and we do need the multinationals, we do need the big corporations to create a lot of employment. They're all very good for our economy. But we shouldn't have an economy which is simply based on them. At the end of the day...
We shouldn't be dependent on them.
Well, we, you know, unfortunately, we're in that situation. It's a world economy now. We have to try and deal with some of that. But we do need to develop our own indigenous economy as well. We also need to... make sure that we can provide for people. And one of the things that always strikes me is, you know, when we look at where we were, we'll say 50, 60 years ago compared to where we are now, the economic output required an awful lot of labour back then. The economic output has come so more automated now that an awful lot of technology is doing an awful lot of the work. So therefore, there's an awful lot of money being made with less labour, and yet most of our taxes are taken on labour. So we need to look at that.
Okay.
And that's not just for Ireland, that's for Europe.
You went back 50 or 60 years there, Martin, and I agree with you, there's been a lot of advances. But the debt that's on the head of every person in this country, like, I mean, there was no debt on the people back then. It's thousands per head of the population in this country, the debt. And that's greater than it is in any other country in Europe. We're carrying a massive, massive debt, and we need to be awfully careful, because if this barn is going to continue and talk about giving the money away for nothing, where is that debt going to end up? Or how is it going to end? Are we going to see more public services being sold off? Are we going to see
our policies to do the opposite is actually to establish more public services and to deprivatise a lot of the things that have been privatised wrongly, including the like of the cat lab in Sligo. You know, we believe, you know, that we can have an economy that will serve the people and that we can work toward doing that. But, you know,
but how
that
will
require...
We need to find out how that will be funded. There needs to be... It's not enough to say we're going to do this and this. How is actually that going to be funded?
We produce a budget that's fully costed every year around all of that.
Are you encouraged, Bernie, the prospect of a Sinn Féin-led government next time out?
Well, I do believe we will have a Sinn Féin government. And I do believe it certainly would be a great opportunity for change. I do believe that. And I do believe there are good people in Sinn Féin that definitely want to make a better country. I do believe that. But I don't, a lot of their policies, I think they need to start talking to people, and I think they need to start going to some of their policies, that insurance policy that, you know, it's branded the greatest thing ever. It's not. And they need to start...
Which insurance policy?
You know, about what you're going to do about making the insurance cheaper and everything else. You know, that this thing where the insurance companies can charge less for, you know the way they do for the first time customers, they charge less.
Well, look, I mean, Pierce Doherty did an awful lot of work on insurance. Yeah. And all
I'm not picking hairs here, but what I'm saying is you can
pick on any little individual thing, but the broad scope of it, as I said, I know, is that the priorities will change,
but the point,
and ordinary people will
but the
be
point,
looked after.
The point I'm making is, like, I mean, you could make a difference if you look at some of the policies that you've already there, and some of them are not very good. They're actually going to work against the poorer people. And I'm just taking that as an example. This is just one. I think you should listen to the people. If you listen to the people, you could have a great government.
Right.
Instead of trying to defend what's already there.
Okay, all sorts of questions coming in. Gold mining in Leitrim and ESB power stations and Sinn Féin policies being tried out in Cuba and Venezuela, if you don't mind. All sorts of questions. Yeah. But there is a number of festivals taking place this weekend, but there's one you feel is particularly worthy of mention, Martin Kenny, which is the Dublin Pride Festival. This weekend.
I think certainly in the context of what happened in the last number of months here in Sligo, that two men lost their lives, you know, and it was a very tragic incident. And I think, you know, that for somebody's, there's obviously legal proceedings taking place in respect of all of that, but, you know, we have to be careful around that. But I think most people would recognise that, you know, one of the serious factors in regard to all of that was the sexuality of these men. And I think in the context of that, you you know, it's, I just felt that it's important to mention that this is Pride Week, and you know that we wish, you know, happiness and joy to everyone who to express themselves in whatever way they feel they need to around this particular week and around all of that, and that there's a certain poignancy in it, particularly here in Sligo after what happened in the last number of months.
Okay. Do you want to comment on that, Bernie? Or?
I totally believe that what happened here in Sligo, and regardless of what their thinking was and anything, or what their sexual orientation was or anything else, like, I mean, to do what was done to those people was absolutely outrageous. But as for Pride Week, I think, live and let live. But I think that a lot of these events around Pride Week, they should be kept respectful. Like, I mean, you see the photographs and things coming out of, you know, like, I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, where children are walking around and everything else, some of the pictures that's coming out from these events are not good, and all that needs to be kept in mind as well. There should be, like, everyone should be treated the same.
Yeah,
and
I'm not sure what pictures you're referring to.
They should be bound by the same laws.
All right. Okay. I'm sure that is the case. All right. Okay.
From the last ones are shocking.
Okay. Lots and lots of questions which you can't possibly all get around to. Maybe a quick comment on as you're both from Leitrim, and there was uproar in Leitrim, as you well remember, a couple of years ago over the division of the county for electoral purposes, and thankfully that's all been changed. We were talking earlier about the Electoral Boundary Commission and what might happen in six-seater constituencies. Would you like Sligo Leitrim to stay the way it is, Martin Kenny, with South Donegal and North Roscommon and a bit of a hodgepodge, as you know?
There's always been a tradition of Sligo Leitrim being the one constituency, you know, and on this occasion we have a little bit of Roscommon and a little bit of Donegal brought into them. I think where possible, county boundaries should be respected. And, you know, I certainly, from the point of view of the votes that I got in Donegal, I wouldn't like to lose that little bit, or indeed in Roscommon either. But having said that, you know, I do understand, particularly because of the history that Leitrim has, have been divided in the past when it was Sligo North Leitrim and Roscommon South Leitrim. You know, people were very, very annoyed and felt very disenfranchised by that, because there was periods there where we had no TD in the county, and I think it would be difficult for people to face that kind of thing again. Now, I know the proposal has been talked about six-seaters. Six-seaters did exist in Ireland.
Yeah,
up until
I didn't realise until you told
50s,
me off
you know?
Air. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, it's not impossible to do that. Just the final point on Leitrim, and you mentioned there on the one of the texts coming in about gold mining in North Leitrim, I think is an issue that we need to be very careful about. You know, there's plenty of minerals out there that we need possibly to exploit for human advancement. Gold isn't one of them. You know, it's a luxury item.
It's hugely
disadvantageous for the point of view of the environment. They dig out whole sides of mountains, wash it with chemicals. You know, it's a very dirty, carbon-intensive industry. We need to be moving away from those kind of industries, trying to advance them. The fact of the matter is, people say about employment, you know, employment is an issue for to get good jobs for people. Most of those kind of industries, the jobs that come out of them, are jobs that are for a very, if you like, moving kind of people that come from other countries for to do them and then disappear as soon as the exploitation is over.
Well, we were talking about the census earlier on and the significant increase in Leitrim's population, and I think you both felt off air that that was due to more jobs and more industry and business being set up in Leitrim.
That's right,
Just to go on the point of the mining, I mean, it's back to it again. Like, I mean, anything you'll do in Leitrim, like, you know, to send it into, we'll do it in Leitrim. But mining for gold is you know, it's just the real wealthy. This nobody gains from this. I mean, the real wealthy, the elite, the ones that's coming in to make quick bucks.
Well, is there not jobs being created within industry like that?
I would agree with Martin on that. There's no jobs created in those type of mining exercises, and if they are, they're very short term. But mining for gold is definitely the work of the elite and the wealthy, and they do not care about the human person that's going to be living in these places. And the really and truly, they should be stopped doing that. It's not good enough. There needs to be more noise coming from the politicians in Sligo and Leitrim, and that's the truth of it. Because everything is dumped down on us. We've all the trees. We have everything else that's, you know, that nobody else wants.
I think there's any amount of jobs in home help. There's any amount of jobs in services for people with disabilities. There's any amount of jobs in a whole range of areas that we can't get workers for. Mm. And I think what we need to do is pay those people a bit better in order to ensure that we keep those kind of jobs, and they're jobs that actually serve mankind rather than depleting the economy and indeed the environment.
Yeah, could I pick on one other issue that you raised in the Dáil this week, Martin Kenny? We ran it on our news, and I think you were, correct me if I'm wrong, you were referring to the festival in Mohill.
Yeah.
a lot of festivals are having difficulty getting insurance. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. No, and a lot of festivals and a lot of issues around that. The insurance industry, as we know, you know, has been on the spotlight for a long time now because of the very high rates of insurance that's been charged. Yeah. And there are issues for car insurance, for home insurance, for health insurance we mentioned a few minutes ago. All of those things, you know, there's problems around them. But one of the areas that there's a particular problem around is festivals and outdoor events. And that's really... Now, there is insurance available for them. In fact, it's Brady's in Carrick and Shannon is one of the main companies in the country that provide it for those kind of festivals and events. But if they have things that would be considered particularly high risk, for instance, the one in Mohill is where they have a horse fair every year, and because there's live animals, it's very, very difficult to get insurance. And it's the same thing in anywhere where you have, we'll say, water sports or anything like that. Very, very difficult to get insurance, almost impossible. And they are issues, I think, that we need to deal with, because if we're going to develop our economy and our commerce in a lot of small towns that need those kind of festivals to happen, you know, we need to make sure that there's an availability of insurance around. And we're probably coming near the stage where the state will probably have to establish its own insurance industry.
Well,
like
particularly coming out of COVID lockdown, and you know, people like their local festivals and they're well attended and well supported. I think they're important.
Well, insurance is compulsory, so therefore it should be provided by the state. Like, I mean, the people shouldn't have to pay 10 prices for to get it insurance. If it's compulsory that you need insurance, then it should be, if it can't be got anywhere, the state should certainly provide it. And that would be the same in a lot of cases where people can't get insurance.
Okay. Didn't realise that live animals at festivals would cause an insurance issue.
Well, you see, at shows and things like that every year, you know, agricultural shows that people get injured or get, you know.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, they're generally very, very well managed and they're behind cages and they're kept, you know, kept behind gates and in allotments and that. But still, sometimes there can be people can get injured, and that's the issues with it.
What did we do for the fair days all those years ago, I wonder? We weren't worried about insurance back then. We'd get half days from school.
We're getting a good price. And in fairness, there is a good price for cattle and sheep at the moment, although the price for inputs has gone up an awful lot for farmers out there. We've had two meetings at the IFA have been with in the last couple of weeks, and they're talking about the price of both fertiliser and agricultural diesel gone through the roof. Yeah. You know, they can't afford to almost make their silage now. It's gone to such a state.
And the wrap has gone up, bang. Everything, as well. Yeah. The wrap has gone up again. Yeah.
Both of your panellists are wrong. Gold is not just for the wealthy, says this listener. It has widespread uses in the electronics and technology industry. So that's telling you
there's alternatives.
Yeah, there is, and any amount of them.
Right, okay. And speaking of fair days and traditions, I want to ask you about Midsummer's Night, bonfire or bonfire night, as someone was correcting us during the week. Is that a tradition in North Leitrim, Bernie, or not?
Well, I know one thing, it's certainly with a lot of people in North Leitrim, because you couldn't get around it last night with smoke. You needed, it was like, I don't know, you would have thought there was forest fires all around you. So it's definitely, bonfire night definitely is alive and well.
Yeah. Yes, it's tradition. It's tradition in many parts of the country, and it actually goes back to pre-Christian times. It's a really, really ancient tradition, you know, of a sort of the longest day of the year being celebrated. That we're now turning again into shorter days, and I suppose that's what we have to be, unfortunately, looking forward to from now on.
Yeah,
and the monsoon's coming.
Well, yes, it's here already in the south of Ireland. So no difficulty with that. You think these traditions are important?
Of course, yeah.
And important to be marked and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. What else? Yeah. People with disabilities are being totally discriminated against, as this person, in various ways in this country. Would the panel have any comments on that? Now, I don't know specifically what they're referring to.
Well, I think one of the things that they're probably referring to is in regard to services. And, you know, for instance, respite for children with intellectual disabilities, for adults with disabilities is a big issue in this region for many families out there who are trying to cope with somebody, you know, who have a child that have, you know, very, very difficult and hard to manage and have a lot of issues with that. They get day services, they can't get respite. Sometimes they're looking at residential care later in life, and all of those are being decongregated out into community settings, and you know there's a lot of change happening in all of that area.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when a lot of these changes happen, it doesn't always improve the service. Sometimes there's periods where the service can be dropped and where there's difficulties for people. And I think that's one of the key areas that people have a problem with. There's also a big issue of people getting home help and getting support in regard to all of those areas as well. And also in regard to, you know, the work that needs to go on in people's homes, where they need to get stair lifts in, where they need to get, you know, make wheelchair accessibility, all of that, where the councils are often don't have the funds for to be able to provide the level of grant aid that they should be providing for it.
talking of home health, as this listener, what does a person get but a few girls coming in for a few minutes? The government should give more hours to just one home help, especially at night time. The term home help makes me laugh, as they don't do much anymore.
The only thing about it is with with the carers and back to the people with the disabilities, you know, and I know with the best will in the world, this package is put in place and they do try and work as best as possible with the people that need home health care. And but, you know, for people with disabilities and different, with very special needs, they should put together, they should be sort of very much involved in the type of plan they need. And it shouldn't be just, you know, if it needs to be different than what's available out there, then it needs to be made different. And, there, you know, it's like, I think we're too much kind of based on, you know, one size fits all. It doesn't actually, and there needs to be the people that's that needs this, especially people with disabilities, because their cases are very different. But they should be involved in the planning of this is what we need, and this is when we need it, and this is how we need it, and that needs to be made a priority in this country, because the people that are organising, with the best will in the world, they have to work around what they have been given. But there should be something brought in to make the people that need this help have a bigger say in the type of help they need and when they need it.
A final point or 2 points from listeners. I hear all the TDs chatting about the cath lab leaving Sligo and Letterkenny. It'll be like the cancer services. Something else will come up and the cath lab will be forgotten about. It's crocodile tears. And someone else already wants to know what Sinn Féin are going to be doing in government. For example, will Martin Kenny and Sinn Féin reopen breast cancer services in Sligo? Sure, you haven't even considered that yet.
I mean, the cath lab service, and you know, to say that it's crocodile tears, I think, you know, in fairness, everyone recognises, and before we had this, and I described it last during the week there as a useless service, the one we had, because I felt it was useless if it was the wrong day that you happened to need to get, you know, cardiology services. If you went there and that service wasn't there on that day, you were sent to Dublin or you were sent to Galway. So, I mean, it's outrageous that we haven't had a full and proper service in place in Sligo University Hospital before now.
But and I think now they that, were asking, that's are you going to do it?
Yes, absolutely.
And that, are you going to bring back the breast service? I think that was the question.
That would be one of the absolute commitments that we would have, that we would be looking at putting proper services in place wherever they're needed in the country, and certainly in the northwest. If you draw a line from Galway across to Dublin, north of that line, you know, we have a huge deficiency in services, and we need to, you know, re-examine that and reorientate our services to make sure, as we say, the census after coming out, our population is growing, and our population is also getting older, which is another feature of that, which needs to be make sure that we put the services in place.
All right,